Amen. I've just been following the Lord. I feel like I've been rambling. I feel like I keep setting this path. And God keeps, while I'm on the path, he keeps diverting me. But he's taking me somewhere. And I know that. I just don't know if you know that. I just want to make sure you're patient with me, because I'm just going to follow him. That's all I'm doing. Even Sunday morning. Sunday morning I told the Lord, I said, Lord, this is plumb off the beaten path of where I was going. Plumb off of where I even have kind of thought you were leading me. And, you know, of course, I obeyed the Lord. Of course, there was some great things come out of that, too, that you'd even know not of. And I actually meet somebody tomorrow that come out of that service who run to this altar with eyes filled with tears and told me how backslidden they were. They said, I'm so backslidden and in such a dark place, and wanted to meet this week and talk, and began restoration. And I said, this is so good. This is so good. This is what it's about. And just needed to hear, because they had gotten it. Well, he told me. I done said he now, so you know it's a he. But anyway, he told me that he'd gotten in such a dark place because he thought all the things that I preached on weren't for him anymore. He didn't realize God wanted to hold him. He said, I didn't realize God wanted to gather me again. And he said, I did not realize that God just could still guide me. And he said, I realized this morning I've got another step. I can take another step. That's just awesome. Awesome. And like I said, only God can do those things. Only God can work things like that. I cannot. And that's why I try to be so submissive and try to be so understanding of what God wants, because that's where the good things happen. You know, that's where the fruit is. And though to me, in my mind, I feel like I'm sometimes all over the spectrum, but when I look back, I know how I got there. It was all part of where I've been. So I just want to explain that to you, that I'm not just pinning the tail on the donkey. Because sometimes it might seem like I'm just like, okay. It's not happening like that. There is, I don't never tell you the whole system, because it would take too long. Like tonight, even telling you this is taking way too long. but I just wanted you to know that God's leading me. And I feel like with everything that the Lord's done the last 3 or 4 weeks in scripture, in truth, in studying, that tonight that I am narrowing in on exactly. And it's still got the same emphasis, but it is in a little different realm than even I knew when I first began to study it out. So tonight I want to read you kind of odd scripture. You'll think, well, how in the world did we end up in Ephesians 4? Ephesians 4. And we'll start with verse 7, and we'll read down to about verse 16, and then we'll say a little prayer. And we'll just believe the Lord tonight. Ephesians 4. Ephesians is a beautiful book. It's very deep, ain't it? Man, it's very deep. It's hard to sometimes wrap a Craig County mind around Ephesians. I mean, the entirety of it. It is. I've just gasped sometimes at it, the depth of it. But it's so beautiful. Listen to what the word says. It says, but unto every one of us, talking about us tonight, is given grace. Ain't you glad? Grace. That's why we're here. If it wasn't for grace, wouldn't none of us be here. If it wasn't for grace, most of us wouldn't be alive. Amen. We would be gone. But grace, according to the measure, and where did this grace come from? It was a gift of Christ. Amen. Daggone, that's good. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, when he went to heaven after the resurrection, he led captivity captive, and before that he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first, even into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And this is some of the stuff that you I know you've heard, but we're going to revisit it just a little bit. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Preaching tonight, by the way, on body works. Body work. Anybody need any body work? I'm not talking about the kind you're probably talking about. Amen. You're trying to get that at the gym, but I'm not talking about it at the gym. I'm not talking about your car either, but body work. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What a lofty goal. We settle, don't we? Way too low. What a lofty goal the church has for it. Our aim is supposed to be this perfect stature, the perfect fullness of Christ. Whew. That, there's a reason for it, that we're henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the slight or sly men, with cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him, all things which is the head, even Christ. Last verse. For whom the whole body, the whole church, is fitly joined together, compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. In love. In love. That's a whole lot of meat. Good grief. That's a bunch of meat. I just want to tell you, I'll leave some meat on the bone tonight. I guarantee you, there'll be meat left on the bone. But that is just so much. But let's pray, and let's pray over this tonight, and let's believe the Lord for a body work. Father, I do. I love you tonight, and I thank you. And I do. I pray that you'll bless our time, that you'll use this, Lord. Lord, you know how you've been leading my heart, and you know how you've guided. And just help me here tonight to instill this even into this body tonight, dear God. We here at this church, Lord, our body, dear God. Lord, that is our aim. Though it's lofty, though it's high, it's a high goal, it's a high standard. That's our goal, Lord. We want to pursue this perfected body that looks just like you. So, Father, bless our time. Bless the word tonight. Bless every heart that's come out here tonight, Lord God. May they be strengthened. May they be helped. May their minds be stirred, dear God. And may we all leave this place with the unity, this unity of the faith and the unity of the knowledge, pursuing this perfection, dear God, of your perfect body. Now, Lord, we love you and we praise you now. And we honor you in Jesus Christ's mighty name. And all church agree and say, amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. We bless his name. Amen. 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 I know when I say I've thrown that word around about perfect church around already, and I know eyes get big. There ain't no perfect church. Well, I didn't say there was, but I say we're supposed to pursue it. That should be our goal. According to Scripture, that's what we should aim at. And according to the Scripture, there is the ability to get there in a lot of degree. Amen? Amen. Body work. Just kind of set a little foundation. I don't think it was ever God's intention. And there's a lot in these Scriptures, but I'm just going to kind of jump right in the center of it. But I don't think it ever has been God's intention that the gifts that he gave in verse 11, which were the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, it was never his intention for those, what we would consider the platform or the stage, it was never his intention that they would be the ones that always had the power. You'll not find that in Scripture. Now, I know over centuries, it's been centuries. If you go back to the old church, the old Catholic Church of England and various things, and then the old Protestant churches, and even through our decade or our century of the 19th century, when we had healers and we had evangelists and various things, that we had the mindset as a church that we had to get to the man. That's the mindset that the church had. And I'm not saying there wasn't great things done by certain men. That's not, because God used, we know that. We know over the centuries God has used many men or women to work mighty powerful things. But when you read this text and when you read this scriptures, you can tell, and then when you read the other parts, you can tell that it was never really his idea for the platform to have all the power. Now, they had a job, they had a place, they had what they should do, but it was never really for them to be the ones that really you had to get to. Really, if you go by this text in its true form, in its genuineness, those that he gave, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, the teacher, he gave them to the body to perfect, to do a work, to bring the power to the pew, if I can say it that way. The platform was never meant to be the power. The platform was meant to bring the power to the body. And that's the truth. And I think we have felt a lot of frustration. The only time we feel like sometimes that we really have a good time is if somebody on the platform or whatever really gets amped up with the power and we get a little spillover. But God never really intended that. He intended that we come together, and we're going to get into this verse here in a minute, and whoever was on the platform, the pastor or the teacher or the evangelist or the apostle. And let me just stop and say this right quick. We have been so blessed here at this church. Especially on Sunday mornings, we have all these in our church. Every one of these. We do. We've got every one of these in some function or fashion. So it says so good. And the reason I say that is because it's not because they're going to orchestrate. No. They're going to help perfect. And they have been. They have been helping perfect. But God's intention was that they was to empower the pew. Empower the people. And it was through this text that I really, and I've always been pretty clear on my purpose. I've always been pretty clear on my role. I've never really struggled a whole lot other than with small areas. But when I really got a hold of this text over the last couple weeks, man, it come more clear than ever. God used it. God used it to really bring it crystal clear. As he gave, I understand, he gave these gifts. He blessed the church. I really seen what my role really is. And what the role of the evangelist, or what the role of the apostle, or what the role of the prophet, if he does prophetic unction. And that is to perfect the saint. That's what verse 12 says. Put verse 12 up there so they can mow it over there just a little bit, Kayla. Ephesians 4 and verse 12. There you go. For the perfect, he gave. Verse 11 was he gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, for the perfecting of the saint. For the perfecting of the saint. Not to be the show, or not to be the powerhouse, or not that they don't sometimes do that in the perfecting, but for the perfecting. For the perfecting of the saint, all those that believe, all those that's a part of the body, all those that have gathered, that have assembled, that's come together. And it's just like we have here tonight. So this is a church here tonight. We've come together. We're part of his body. Now, everyone's not here tonight because it's Wednesday, and I know there's obligations and there's work and there's this, that, and another, and there's Walmart, and there's... There's other things. There's just too cold to go outside, and I understand all that. And I'm not hard on that too bad. But as we gather and assemble ourselves, we're the body tonight. We're coming. We're exactly in Ephesians 4 tonight as the body. And in my role tonight, I'm really here to perfect. And that means, that word, it's got a couple meanings. The Greek word, it's got a couple, but they all kind of mean the same thing. In one sense, it means to complete. In one sense, it kind of means to furnish, to furnish somewhat. To equip is kind of a more looser meaning, but it's kind of all that. There's a scripture that really brings it out better that Paul used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. We'll go there just for a minute so you can see it. And this was when Paul was praying to see the Thessalonians. He said, night and day I'm praying exceedingly that I might see. That's a good pastor, ain't it? That I might see your face. I want to see your face, Paul Robertson. Woo! And I might see your face. And listen, and this is why. And here's that word, that I might perfect. He was an apostle. That's who he was. But he was still operating in the Ephesians 4 rule. He wanted to see them what for? To perfect. To perfect the saints that were in Thessalonica. To perfect what in particular? That's lacking in their faith. Now I'm talking about me a whole lot right now, but we're going to get to the body. But that's my role. That's my role. I see that so crystal clear. That's exactly what I do. When we come together as a body, that's my role. That's what I need to be doing. That's what I need to be focused on. That's what I need to seek God for. That's what I need to seek him for scripture, for guidance. I need to seek him. Because sometimes I don't know your business, but he does. Sometimes he knows your mail and I do not. And I'm glad, because I don't really want to know your mail, because then that bothers me. I hate when I know your mail. Because when I know your mail, it does. It bothers me to even sometimes go where thus saith the Lord. I'd rather to preach. Somebody come up after the service and said, how did you know? I said, your wife told me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. She really didn't. Well, sometimes she did. Amen. Amen. But you know, that's just it. That's my role for the furnishing, for what's lacking, for whatever's missing, for whatever's needed, whatever's there. And it's a lot of things. Tonight, what are you lacking? You know, in your faith. Missing piece or two or three? What is it that's missing? That keeps you from really excelling as a part of the body of Christ. To taking your place and being a part of, and I'm going to get to this in a minute, part of the build up. You know, and I just want to say this, we all missing some things. Some of us missing several things. Sometimes I'm missing several things. Amen. And it could be any from obedience to submission, to a duty, to who knows, to love. There's a thousand to the mission. There's a thousand things that it could be, but see, God knows. And that's what my role is. That's what when Paul's in his role, or even when Jim Angle or functions the way he functions, or whoever, or Davey, that's what it is to impart to somebody something that's missing. I've seen, and boy, ain't I seen that work. It's so awesome. It's so awesome when God uses those roles to build up or to perfect something that's lacking, to move into that area. Amen. And I just want to say this. I have felt even some conviction at times that I'm not, that I feel like sometimes I really don't nail down this role like I want to. I don't nail it down. Because that's my heart. When I find out that somebody, even like tomorrow, I meet a guy who's really struggling with an addiction. And I've been laboring all week since Sunday, praying and studying and thanking and seeking God. How it is, Lord, how can I help this man? How can I perfect him? Because that's what tomorrow's about. Tomorrow's not about a pastor meeting with part of the body who wants to be perfect, who wants to be perfected. That's what he wants. He wants to be perfected. Some of you, you've come to me with needs. You've come to me with things, and sometimes big things, hard things to understand, hard things to get your mind. And I'll search, and a lot of times when I don't know, I'll even go outside. I'll go way outside of my knowledge or way outside, and I'll even dig into other resources. And sometimes even the other resources are a little bit, but it's all I got. But I use it. I try to do whatever. What for? To perfect. What you've come to me with, telling me I'm so incomplete here. Amen. And so I feel sometimes a lot of lack on my part as the one who's supposed to be. And that's why it's so good when we all get together. That's the whole part of this. That's the whole part about the church. The church is an awesome thing. I'm going to tell you, I know people in this day and hour, they say you don't need the church to be saved, but I'm going to tell you what, you better be the thief on the cross because you're going to get eat alive if you don't get saved the moment you're dying outside the church. You will get eat alive. I know everybody's into this individual salvation thief now, and I got me and God, we took a walk today and all that stuff. Well, you're getting eaten alive, and you don't even know it. Amen. 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 Because it takes our whole body. Because like even when it's out of my realm, and when other people, you know, speak in tongues and it's interpreted, or someone goes around even like Brother Marks did that one Sunday and prophetically encouraged souls so gracefully and so reverently. He prophesied the encouragement into lives. He was fulfilling that role that I didn't have. It's so awesome. It's so awesome the way the church is supposed to function. If we let it function, and if we stay a part of it, God wants us perfected. He wants us built up. Because that's what it's all about. That's what, in the end run, this is where it's going. In the end run, in verse 12, you can go to verse 12 if you can, Caleb. Verse 12. In the end run, or Dustin, I'm sorry. You done changed on me back there. Dustin, for the perfecting, I'm fulfilling my role tonight. What? To perfect the saints. What for? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Now we're getting into you. That's where it's coming. It's for the work of the ministry, and this is the big word for me, the edifying of the body. See, that's not, I don't really edify the body. I know I try and I encourage and I try to build you up and all that, but we as a body, when we come together and you're perfected, we edify each other. We build up each other. That's what we're doing. That's the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry, it ain't that complicated. No, we build up each other. Amen. We're heading somewhere now, but that's the work of the ministry. Those around you, those that will be around you Sunday morning, you're building them up. This is a good message to preach to the Wednesday night crowd, because you're the ones that need to hear this, because you're the ones that's going to be building them up. That's right. Because a lot of the Sunday morning crowd is going to be looking to the platform for the power, for their life that's in a mess. And I'm not saying miracles don't come from the platform, but I'm going to tell you what, miracles come right beside of them. There's miracles. There's power sitting right beside of you. More so sometimes. More so. And you're the one that can build up. You're the one that can work the miracle. You're the one that can work the ministry. You're the one. I'm just here really and then functioning like the others to perfect. That when you are sitting there as part of the body, even on Sunday morning, that you can then build up. Building up this body. Building up the body of Christ. It's the building up of it. It's every believer building up the church. That's the ultimate goal. That's why I don't see how you can be saved and not be a part of the church, because you're totally out of purpose. If you're really a believer, you've got to be in church, because that's part of it. You got to build up the body. Jesus wants the body built up. And that's why it's hard to really, to me, to buy into that whole thing. Let's accept you get saved and like you die the next day. Then I can say, yeah, you can go to heaven. Or yes, you're a Christian. And I've seen it happen, by the way. I've prayed for people, and some of them not even sick. And they died. I had one man one time, he told me that. He told me that. I had visited him, and he was an ornery. He was a rascal. I sometimes didn't even like visiting him. He sometimes was just right mean, right unruly, depending on what mood he was in. Sometimes he was a lovely, well, he wasn't ever lovely, but sometimes he was okay. He was okay. But most time he'd shoot his mouth off and run his mouth and blah, 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 blah. But the Lord just would not let me get away from that man, would not let me go. And he was one of my neighbors for one reason. And I couldn't get away from him. And the Lord just kept sending me. And he told me one time, he said, the only way, I'd done a revival on Craig's Creek at the little New Hope Church. And he come every stinking night. And he sat back there with a frown on his face. But he kept coming. I'm like, he won't be there tomorrow night. But dang on. And it was like 5 nights. And he kept coming. And I don't know if it was the last night or towards the last night. That's what he told me. Because I give altar call every night. And I had a lot of people come up and give their hearts to the Lord during that revival. But he'd sit there just... What's he even doing here? But, you know, it was either the last night or the night before. He told me. He said, the only way I'll ever be able to get saved is if I get saved and God takes me. I said, huh? He said, I could probably get saved and then God's going to have to kill me. Well, out of that revival, they asked me to do an early morning Easter service before I come here. And I agreed because I had just come out of that revival. And I thought, yeah, that'd be great. And it was an early morning Easter service. And he was there. He came. He was there that morning early, like 7 o'clock. And I preached that morning. And I don't even remember what I preached on. Probably the resurrection, since it was Easter. Who knows? I might preach on Christmas. I don't know. But I preached. And you know that man? Come to the altar that morning. Crazy. I was shocked. I thought he was getting up to leave. You know, some of y'all fool me sometimes. You church people are shifty. I've seen, they will. Sometimes they'll stare at me like, I'm coming, and then they go towards the back door. But I thought that's what he was going to do. I thought, well, he's getting up to leave. And he got up, and no, he didn't leave. He comes straight to the altar. And I prayed with him, and he accepted Christ in his heart. And that man had an accident on Monday and never regained consciousness, and he died on Wednesday. I'll never, ever forget that. So I'm saying it can happen. But I'm just telling you, the norm, if you get saved, you need the church. You need the church, unless you want to die on Monday. And I'm not much into that. I don't know about y'all. I'd just soon not die on Monday. Amen. So we need it. And it's all for the working up, for the building up of the church. See, that's where our mentality's wrong too a lot. A lot of us think, I got to go to church to see what I can get. I know, not the Wednesday night people. But that's the mindset most of the time. I got to go to church because I got to get. I got to get. And I'm not against getting, don't get me wrong, because this is where you should come and get all you can get from God. But the mentality is really in this text is we come to build up. If you're a believer, if you're a saint, you come to build up. You come to be a part of the work. Body work. Body works. That's what you come for when you're a part of the body. You come to labor. You come to do ministry. Even if it's sitting there on that pew and praying, or even if it's sitting there and squeezing someone's hand, even if it's just sitting there praying for somebody or worshiping, even if it's sitting there obeying God, maybe the Holy Ghost moves that morning and he unctions you in a special way and you obey. It's building up. You're helping. And if you don't, we're going to all leave frustrated, including the one who's here to try to perfect. We're going to all leave frustrated because the body's not getting built up. Amen. I'm telling you, it's crystal clear, really. It really is. It's really crystal clear. Amen. Saints, we come together. We build up the church. Amen. Amen. That's what we do. Verse 13. I got to finish this thing. Verse 13. Go back to verse 13 there, Dusty, Rusty. Listen. How long? How long do we build up? Till we all. Whole body, till we all come to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. Until this body, so completely looks like, talks like, acts like, moves like, has a spirit like Jesus Christ. That's what this church is supposed to have when we come together. When we come together as the body, we're supposed to act like, talk like, have the attitude of, the spirit of, the personality of. I said if we're perfect in that stature, coming to the fullness of Jesus Christ, we should be acting just like Jesus would. How many churches is doing that? How many churches has got the personality of Christ? How many churches have got the attitude of Christ? That's like that message I preached Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. That's not Lee Sarver's attitude. That was God's. That was Jesus Christ's attitude about how he loves believers who sin. Amen. That was the attitude, the mind of Christ. That should be us. As when we come together as a body, that's how we should be. You know how you get bragged on all the time about loving? Well, praise God, that's what you should. That's part of that. We're fulfilling. We're coming into that full measure. You should be loving to everybody, no matter what. Just like Jesus would love them. Just like Jesus would. We take on his personality. How long do we build up? Till everybody in here takes on his personality. Everybody in here takes on his attitude. to everybody in here takes on his spirit. We keep building up. I keep perfecting. I notice a little attitude problem, I'll perfect. I'll tweak. I notice a little spirit problem, I'll do some perfecting. And I expect your neighbor to nudge you. Say, say, well, you're helping build up. Maybe not quite that way, but the illustration, I think, brings it home. Amen. Y'all remember Diane and Curtis? That used to be the beatest thing I ever seen. When I'd preach something on Curtis, Diane would pop him across the chest. She'd pop him. He'd look at her. And then she'd pop him again. She was helping me. I told him, you'll need to pop her back a time or two here next Sunday. Because I'm coming at her. Amen. But that's what I'm talking about. Till we all come, till we all take on who he is, till this church so looks like him, smells like him, talks like him, acts like him. How many thinks that'd be good for ministry? How many thinks that we wouldn't leave here so frustrated sometimes? Huh? How many thinks we wouldn't leave here lacking very much? We'd leave here pretty well equipped, wouldn't we? Amen. 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 Verse 14. What for? Why are we doing all this? That we are no longer children. That we're no longer tossed around to and fro, carried about every wind, every dark, slicked by men, cunning, craftiness, where we're deceived. If ever there was an age that, man, we need to be built up to offset this. There's so many sly. Have you noticed the sly words? That's what I have to sometimes. It takes me a couple days sometimes to really grasp what's been said. Yeah. I'm either getting old or I ain't as fast as I used to be, or I can't comprehend quite as good as I used to. But somebody will say something, and sometimes about 2 days later it'll hit me. Daggone, I wish I'd have said that. Everybody else? Yeah. I'm terrible about that. I said, man, I got to. And I've even done it in here one Sunday. I said something, but I said how I responded, but after I thought about it, I really lied to y'all. Because I responded in my mind, but I really didn't tell it to them. It hit me on the way home. Now I couldn't tell you till now. So I'm confessing it now. But I really didn't say it till about 2 days later in my own mind. I thought I said it, but it really wasn't to them. I'll tell it all in here. Amen. It was an innocent accident. It really was. But I actually believed my own lie. I told them. Well, I told them in my mind. Amen. But ever there is an age that, man, we're under that. We're so pressured. We're so pressured. And they tie it all together. And this political, cultural type landscape where even like the tolerant issue, that's just one simple issue. Man, that's when we need to be built up because sometimes we feel pressured or we feel even guilted into, I need to tolerate. Some things, no, we don't. Christ wouldn't. See, if we're really built up, just remember, Christ, he loved things, but he also hated some things. He did. Read your Bible. You'll find things that Christ hated. And if we are built up into that perfect, there are some things the church is going to love and there's some things the church is going to hate. It just is. And that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. As long as it's Christly. Amen. Amen. But until we all come to this complete body, then we'll have the stability and we'll have the strength I gotta get to where I can close this thing. But then we'll have the strength and the stability. And verse 15 and 16, I got to finish this thing up. And he says this then, he says, but now speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up. Now, we're shifting gears here. I don't know if you caught it or not, but we build up, and actually till we grow. He shifted. He changed terminology on me. When we quit building up is when we grow up. It's when our body has grown up into who? Him. Into him. Into all things, which is the head. It's Christ. When do we quit building up? It's when we grow up under his authority. Yes. I want you to hear that. This is a big thing. And this is where I'm going to pick up Sunday if it don't snow, by the way. Because this is the track that I'm going to be on. I'm going to be on this track of perfecting. But we grow up. In other words, we're grown up enough to accept his authority. His headship. His headship. Lord, beyond Savior. Savior got you in the body. Headship. Now we grow, we built up. And I had to be built up. I was like one of them bamboo Chinese trees. What? Yeah, I read a little article on that thing. Do you know a bamboo Chinese tree? It what? Oh, I was like, what? Bonsai? A bamboo Chinese tree. Do you realize it's planted and it lays dormant under the soil? Listen, 5 years. I know. And it's watered, and it's fertilized, and it's watered for 5 years. 5 years. And see, that's like a lot of us. That's way away. We need to be built up. There's a lot of Christians that need to be built up. What for? To come under his headship. I didn't say they wasn't saved, but I'm just saying they ain't accepted his authority. It's Lord. He's not Lord. And that's why we build up. Until we grow up. And able to take on his headship. Amen. The whole body does this. The whole body ministers. Do you hear me? The whole body ministers to the growing up. To the growing up. This growth. You can go to verse 16 because that's where I'm preaching from now, and y'all didn't even know it. But it's from him that we have any growth at all. But for whom? It's the whom is Jesus. That's where we're growing from. It's from him. It's from him that we're able to grow to begin with. But then the whole body ministers. Not just some, but it's the whole body. The whole body. That's how you know you're under his. The whole body. Fitly joined together, compacted, supplying everything, connected, the whole body, working together for every part. That's why we can't have the idea of this individual, it's me. No, it's for, it might be from you to that back over there, but it's the whole body connected, supplying. It might not be anything that I say or do. This is all about church. It's all about Sunday morning meetings. This is all about being together when we join together. It's all about church. This is all about church meetings that extends, of course, outside of here. But it's what it's all about. And it's about each one of us, the whole body, supplying. Supplying. I've seen 100 times. I would have 100 stories of where odd people, so to speak, not that they're odd, but the connection that they had with somebody else was so pivotal in their coming to Christ or a breakthrough or deliverance or a miracle. Because they supplied. They supplied. When they was ready to quit, someone supplied. When he's ready to give up, someone supplied. Come on, somebody. That's it. The whole body supplying, doing this connection and contact. When we are assembled together. Amen. 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 Effectually working in the measure of, there it is again, every part, not just the platform. Every part. Every part. Every individual. Into the body. Amen. Amen. Every working. What? Making increase. Increase of the, making a difference. Can I just say it that way? Making a difference. Making a difference. Making a difference. And finally, increase of the body into the, even, it's when we come together, we edify ourselves. We strengthen ourselves as a body. Amen. That's why I love church. That's why I wouldn't survive without it. That's why I fell in love with it. I could feel it. I could sense it. This is strengthening me. This is helping me. This is why I'm so glad God put me, give me the role I give, because it keeps me on the church. It keeps me at this, because I done told you I'm such a recluse and such a loner. I'd have surely stayed in the mountains by now had he not given me a role. But he gave me this role. And plus I love the church. I love him. I love Jesus and his wife. Any of y'all love Jesus and his wife? I do. I do. Like I said, I don't see how you can love Jesus and not love his wife. You know, you tell me you love me and you don't love my wife, we got problems. We got issues. You can't come eat with me. I'm serious. Amen. I don't care how much you love me if you don't love Cindy. No, we ain't eating together. I just got a feeling that Jesus feels a little bit like you love me and don't love my wife. You know? And I know all y'all love my wife. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Amen. I will tell you this. One of the things that irks her to death is if we go somewhere else, and it's not never here, but when we have went somewhere else to other places, and a lot of them hug me and they don't hug her. Ooh. All the way home. All the way home. All the way. He's a hugging you. They ain't saying nothing to me. Amen. Love my wife. Amen. Finally, and it's all in this, of course. It's in love. It's the only fertile ground. It's love. Remember what it said. Go back to verse 15, and I'm going to close. Back to verse 15. I left this part out because it ties into the very last part of the scripture. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. It's the only way we can do it. Now, I don't believe sometimes we that I think we misrepresent that sometimes, and we'll say, this is going to be tough, but I love you, and just brace yourself. No, I don't really think that's even what it's talking about. It's talking about the fertile ground of love, man. It's talking about a love and spirit. It's about speaking. Yeah, you could speak the truth, but it's in love. It's in love. It's in love. You know the Bible tells us this, and I got two verses, and I'm going to close, and I'm not even going to put them on the board, but I'm just going to refer to them. The Bible tells us this, that we can have all the truth we want, but in 1 Corinthians 8:1, if we don't have love, it just puffs up. That's all we are. We're just puffed up. Got the right truth. How many know focus? Got the right truth. But they ain't no love, and they just, that's what they seem like, just puffed up. But now also the other is true. You can have all the love, but if you ain't got the truth too, you really ain't doing anyone any good. Come on, it takes both. It really does. You got to have both. Philippians, go ahead and put Philippians 1:9. That's the last scripture. Philippians 1:9. This was the other part. It says, I pray that your love may abound, what? Yet more and more. And it's to his knowledge, but it's truth. Because love's got to have that too. It's got to have that. Paul, come on. How in the world does my time get away like that? I don't know. But it does. It just gets away. But I believe it tonight. I believe it's so important tonight. So important that we all become a part of the body. The reason I'm preaching this to you is the Lord's put this on my heart, and really, he's given me some things that I know is going to, and it's still going to connect with the Spirit. It's still going to be the year of the Spirit, but not the way I thought. Although it'll tie in plenty, but. It's going to be for the things, for the building up of the body. Amen. To get the power off the platform. Get the power out of the pastor, out of the evangelist, out of the prophet. And it should be in the pew. Building up. Perfecting. Working. Coming to this look like Jesus. This perfection. I've done preached y'all plumb stone quiet. Amen. It's like an Episcopalian library in here. Amen.